Hi, this is Dan Gilvezan, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
This is Starscream, the true leader of Cybertron, and consequently, all things Transformers. Get it? That's the name of the show.
All things Transformers, hear the call.
Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into the Transformers fandom is TFG and Mike.
Yellow.
Holy crap, two episodes of this podcast in 1 month. We must be on a roll, folks.
What kind of roll?
Ciabatta, maybe? I don't know.
Crescent?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're not too far away from Crescents. I mean, we got Halloween this week coming up, and then after that's Thanksgiving and Christmas. So, Thanksgiving and Christmas, you better hide your crescent rolls, folks, because I'm coming after them. But, yeah, Transformers news. We had the 1.027 event the other day, because by the time this airs, it'll probably be about 2 or 3 days after the 1027 event from Hasbro. And, yeah, it was all about Devastator, SSD6 Devastator, and Age of the Primes Megatronus the Fallen. That Megatron looks like a black and purple Optimus Prime with yellow eyes and yellow teeth.
You know what he looks like? The Fallen from the War Within comics.
Yeah, that too. That too.
I don't know. I'm kind of digging it, but you can tell it's like almost a rehash of Bludgeon.
Yeah, but yes, I agree. But at least this face doesn't look like it wants to rip your face off.
No, but I mean,
Bludgeon's face looks like he wants to rip your face off because Bludgeon is a horror type character.
I mean, so was the Fallen, to be perfectly fair.
Yeah.
And he does look like the War Within comic. I do like this figure.
Mm-hmm.
I like the canon. It kind of gives me G2 vibes with the canon.
The whole thing in alt mode gives me G2 vibes, but in a good way.
Yeah. Well, and what's funny is I was looking at this and I was like, you know, it's almost fitting enough that they could do this as a pre-Beast Megatron. Well, I say that because looking at his torso and looking at his waist and
yep.
The little side guns, the little the way the chest is formed, the cannon on the one side, and then of course we get to the feet and you've got dino toes.
Yeah.
So I was looking at it and I was like, you know, if they were looking for an alternative robot mode and tank for Beast Megatron being pre-Beast.
Yeah.
This would be kind of a slam dunk.
Yeah, it would. And I really dig it. I love the colors.
I do too. And the thing is I don't, even with these colors, I wouldn't have to repaint it. I would just pop a different head on it.
Yeah.
Literally, that's all I would have to do. And
yeah.
I, you know, it's not what I'm going for, but I mean, he's a cool figure.
Obviously, yeah, no, but yeah, it's a very, very cool figure. I do. I love the hover. It's not a hover. I guess it's a hover tank. I don't know. It looks like it's hovering. I'm sure it has wheels under there, but it
does have treads according to the art.
Yeah. But it's one of those things where it looks really, really good. And I really dig that tank mode.
And it looks like the cannon in tank mode, it might actually go inside of the part to hide it.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. That would be cool. That would be super cool.
It definitely looks that way. And honestly, like out of some of the figures I've seen come out of this and some of the retools, this is actually one of the cooler ones.
Yep.
I'm wondering how they're going to make this the 13 primes thing work. I mean, we got Vector Prime already.
Yeah.
Which they'll just retool them and resell them in a new box. And then you get Megatronus and then I'm wondering who the others are going to be. I mean, I know that they named them all.
Yeah.
In Transformers Prime or in Robots in Disguise and things like that, but and in some of the subsequent series, but it'll be interesting to see how they portray them.
And we have Series 86 Devastator, Scrapper, and Bone Crusher. So Scrapper's a Voyager, Bone Crusher's a Deluxe. That'll be out in April. Pre-orders arrive tomorrow. Well, by the time you listen to this, folks, the pre-orders will already be there. Long Haul and Hook, Voyagers, 2-pack, Commander Class, July of next year. Mixmaster, Voyager, and Scavenger Deluxe, September of next year. So yeah, they're going to get this all out in 1 year for Devastator. And I do remember, because I did actually watch part of the, I watched the Transformers part of the 1027 event just to make sure I heard what Evan and everybody was saying. They said if they do a gift set of this thing and do it all as one giant box set, it's going to be a few years down the line that they read that they do that with it. They're not going to do that right away. They did show the full Devastator gray model. It looks really good. They did also say that the colors on the toys are they're almost there is what they said. They might change up a little bit, but it's pretty much there. But I really dig this. I don't think I'm going to be getting it, obviously, because I'm not really whatever. But yeah, no, I think this is cool. I think this is interesting. I think this is fun that they're finally doing a new Devastator. Besides, I think they said the last time we got one was Power of the Primes or Titan. No, it was Titan's Return, I think, is what they said. So that's very, very cool. Any thoughts on Devastator, sir?
I think he's cool. I mean, I'm more of a Superion fan.
Mm-hmm.
But for the main Decepticon here, I definitely dig Devastator out of all of the ones that have been, you know, kind of shown for the Decepticon side. And I think it's kind of cool how they look and the functionality. I'm not personally one that's into combiners in general.
Yeah.
But I definitely think he's cool. And again, this will be like the poor man masterpiece.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't say that calling these junk. I'm saying, like, these are, like, masterpiece figures that you're getting out of budget.
Yep.
So, I do like the having Optimus Prime next to him, just for scale purposes.
Yeah, for scale. Yeah, that is very, very cool.
Dinobots, destroy Devastator! Me, Grimlock, love challenge!
We're not going to spend too long on this, but apparently he just joined recently, but now he's gone again. John Warden, gone from Hasbro, because Hasbro did a round of layoffs.
Surprise, surprise. It's because they're going to move their headquarters from Rhode Island to Boston.
Yeah. Which, I don't know why, because
you're going from one expensive city to another.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, it's not really the same cost, but it's damn close. I don't know, Hasbro. I don't know about that. Now, here's what I wish they would have just done a whole new thing. But oh no. This is the, what, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th remold, repaint of Kingdom Legacy Galvatron. We have Transformer Serial Series SS86-31 Leader Class Galvatron in hand images.
I think this is the 5th, because they had the main one with the battle damage.
Yep.
They had the old toy version.
Yep.
They had the translucent
purple, which is over on my desk.
And then they had the one without battle damage.
Yep.
And then this is Studio Series 86, which, quite honestly, other than what they did to his arm cannon,
yeah,
he looks pretty much identical to the figure I had.
Yeah.
They basically took all of the chrome metallic parts and painted them the flat colors of the show.
Yep.
They dulled the Decepticon symbol, gave him, you know, a slightly different shade of purple.
Yep.
And we're like, well, here we are.
Here we are. That's right. I will say, though, seeing him next to SS86 Optimus. Yeah. Reminds me of that one episode in season 3 when they had to go through the caves.
Come on, Optimus, tell me. Why do you want this metal? How will it be used?
Why is it so precious?
I've explained it to you.
You told me it was important, but you didn't tell me why.
That's because I know you too well, Galvatron.
I like seeing the two of them together. And I think it looks cool. I just think I already have the Galvatron I want. I don't need another one, even though this is essentially, like you said, it's full show accuracy. I like the all-translucent purple one because I like that reformatted look more than this, even though we've been waiting almost 40 years for this color scheme.
See, and I like this figure more than I like the G1 Megatron.
I kind of dig the
Galvatron vibe here.
Yeah.
And he does look pretty good next to the Prime, and it does enhance the Prime by having them both next to each other with that cool background.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that background.
I wish they'd tell the background.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Because,
I mean, that with the lighting over it, I mean, that just makes the figure. Like, it doesn't need anything near it. It just looks menacing.
Yeah, both of them, actually. Well, I mean, mainly the Galvatron, but both of them seeing them side by side, that is super cool.
Yeah, I mean, if they sold this as, like, a collection right here, these two figures in that backdrop, I'd be like, okay, I got a splurge.
Yep.
Ideas, Hasbro. Ideas. Sell the playsets, man. Sell the playsets that go with this stuff. You would sell, like, it's like the stasis pods in the 90s. Like, I was dying to have one. Now I just 3D printed one.
Yep, absolutely. But SS-86 Galvatron, very, very cool. Very, very awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to spend too much time on the next piece because I only grabbed it because I was curious because I have not seen the movie yet. I am waiting for the physical release, or I'm actually waiting until I get paid later this coming next couple of weeks where I can just buy the digital version. But I already pre-ordered the Super Steelbook 4K version of Transformers 1 so I can watch it on my 4K television. But we have, from October 24th, Transformers 1 concept art, production details, and more. And the main thing I wanted to do here is just look at the concept art and all the pictures, because I know a lot of people have seen this movie already, and I know some people do and don't like it. I think most people are fine with it. I just love seeing the background stuff on this, as far as these images go. Because, man, does this movie have some cool backgrounds from Cybertron.
It does, and a lot of the detail on the robots are really stellar. I mean, mm-hmm. I've seen the movie, and it's, aside from a few, like, gripes of things that they threw in there just for gratuitous reasons, like, it's a really good movie, to be honest. Yeah. For this generation, and by no means is it G1, and they do kind of parallel some stuff from the 86 film in this, like, it's not over, Prime, you know, with
yeah,
with Megatron, and then in the movie he's like, it's over, Prime.
Yep.
So I mean, you get kind of the both, you know, the bookends of their whole relationship before they both, you know, they're forming and then they're departing.
Yep. So this is not, what I'm about to ask you is not a spoiler. It's been in the trailers and it's been widely known that it is two very different animation styles in Transformers 1. Like when the shots happen or when the explosions happen, it's more of a 2D CGI effect sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It's not. How did that play for you? Because I'm usually one person that I don't like going between two different styles of 2D, 3D, 2D, 3D.
So, to be honest, I didn't even notice it.
Oh, okay.
I was so engrossed in the action and the dialogue and the storyline, I didn't, it didn't register. I just saw explosions and I was paying attention to the robots. So, it was doing exactly what it needed to do. And,
cool.
I was thoroughly entertained with the plotline. I found Bumblebee's entire arc kind of
stupid.
That was the gratuitous and annoying part. However, the rest of it seemed to be pretty good.
Just call him Badassatron. Oh, God. Why?
Yeah, well, there was a lot of stuff surrounding Bumblebee that were just kind of stupid. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what they were going for. But it was, like I said, not something I would really want to have.
Yep.
the kids kind of exposed to, but as far as like the rest of it, it was fine.
Yep. So ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a slow news episode because we're going to get into a topic here in a minute. But last thing up that I have, unless you have anything else, we're going to go to comics, Transformers, Void Rivals, G.I. Joe, in the Energon January 2025 solicits. So, yeah, we've got Transformers 16, G.I. Joe number 3, and Void Rivals number 6. Transformers and Void Rivals number 16, G.I. Joe number 3. So, as of this recording, Jesse, Early, and I, aka Matrix Prime, over on another comic review, we just finished up the G.I. Joe Skybound Entertainment miniseries with Duke and... Cobra... Destro and Scarlet number 5. So both of those comics are supposed to lead into the G.I. Joe number 1 coming in November. And for Transformers number 16, it gives us the cryptic Autobots versus Decepticons versus a spoiler. Void Rivals is just Skuxoid versus Pythonia. And G.I. Joe number 3 is a mirror. Cobra hunts a venomous new ally. So that's what's going on there. I am really digging the Skybound stuff. I think this is the first G.I. Joe ongoing series I've really ever read. I've read certain things from IDW that IDW did, but I never kept up with their stuff. I kept up with like one or two of their like one-shot kind of series type, mini-series type things. I still think you would like Void Rivals as a science fiction guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just... Transformers is very much on the fringe of it. Even though Skuxoid, Hot Rod are two of the... They each get their own cover on Void Rivals number 16. Every Transformer character that has appeared since issue 1 of Void Rivals, it's like something happens and then you go back to the main characters of Void Rivals. Like, it's not like the Transformers are taking over, because Void Rivals is its own universe with the Sacred Ring and all of its characters. I think you might like it. So, maybe pick up one of the trades. G.I. Joe number 3, I like the covers. I'm very much looking forward to reading G.I. Joe number 3 and seeing where all the characters that we met in the miniseries, what all happens to them in it. So that's going to be cool and fun. But yeah, that's the comics, folks. I will say that the G.I. Joe number 3 is Destro versus Cobra Commander, winner takes all. And that will be out January 22nd. The Transformers and Void Rivals books will be out Void Rivals, January 22nd, and then Transformers will be out January 8th. So they're probably going to move that Void... They're either going to move Void Rivals or G.I. Joe to a different day. I don't think they're both going to come out on the 22nd. They'll probably come out a week before or a week later. So that's all the news we got, unless you got anything else for news.
I don't think I really have anything as far as news. Like, I haven't really, to be honest, been paying too much attention to stuff coming out. I mean, I of course love the YOLO Park stuff that's been coming out.
Yeah, that's been some good stuff.
More so like the G1 related things like Prime and Starscream and Megatron. The only one that really is enticing to me out of these
DLX figures
is the AMK Pro series Optimus Prime.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the Prime is the main one. Like, I'm like, okay, that one looks it looks drool worthy. But I also like the one that transforms, that's like more of the metallic sheen that I can find on Show Z, that's like knockoff Masterpiece Prime. But
yeah,
If I was looking for one that doesn't transform, like this would for sure be it. I don't have the particular room.
Yeah, no, you don't
anymore. My cabinet is so full. I've had to rearrange a few things, and I'm kind of like, what can I get rid of some things? I mean, this one's like only 8 inches tall, so roughly. Yeah. But it's I mean, it's not bad, but I just, yeah. I've got mostly like the ones that I actually want, and then some of them are like more of like I wouldn't mind having them, but I at the same time just don't need them.
Yeah.
Yeah, per exactly. se. So yeah. But I mean, if Yellow Park came out with a like pre Beast Megatron or a Beast Wars Megatron or whatever,
you'd snap it up.
I do have to say though, when Show-Z had that miniature Beast Megatron with the kind of robotic motif going on, that they had not that long ago, and it was like I think $30, $35, and I was very much interested. It was $35, and he was like the size of a basic figure, like 5 inches tall, and like legend scale. And I was very interested in it. However, I was like, $35 for it. And then I was kind of reading some of the reviews, like a lot of people were happy. And then, you know, some people were like, you know, it's just a tiny Megatron. And I was like, I have the masterpiece. I have the War for Cybertron. I am good.
Yeah.
So I decided to skip it. But honestly, I've kind of hit this threshold with a lot of my Transformers that I'm like, I really don't know what else I want.
Well, you don't know what else you want because nothing you've seen has screamed to you, I must have this. And there hasn't been any Beast Wars, Beast Machines, Beast Era news in a long time at this point, because even though this is the 40th anniversary of the brand, they're focusing on, rightfully so, the main core of the brand, which is Generation 1.
I mean, we've got a year and a half, and then we're at 30 years of, you know,
Beast Wars. Yep.
So
I'm sure they'll be doing stuff then.
I'm sure they will.
By that time, by 2026, it won't be the age of the primes anymore. It'll be some Beast Wars name or something to celebrate.
Watch them use Unleash the Beast, which would be funny because they'd have to fight Monster Energy Drink for it.
I was going to say that would be a monster robot fight right there.
Yes. But no, I mean, I'm outside of seeing Masterpiece Rhinox come out this year and Beast Wars Silverbolt for the Legacy United line, there really hasn't been anything Beast Wars related come out, or I should say anything that I would want. I did want Silverbolt.
Yeah.
However, like looking at it, I'm like, I don't. Like it's to me like not one of those main characters where I feel like I have to have him.
Yeah.
Like I got my core Beast crew from season one.
Yeah.
Across the board, and then some of their later iterations of the same person, but I don't have really anybody beyond that. Like I don't even have Quick Strike, so I mean, or Rampage. I have Depth Charge, but that's because my son bought it at one point and was like, yeah, I don't want it anymore. Do you want it? And I was like, sure. And I threw it in my cabinet. Now, like, if they came out with a remaster of him, I would possibly jump at that because then he wouldn't have that giant backpack.
Yep.
For the disc shooter.
Yeah. You got to remember, folks, whenever you get a depth charge, you got to put some fish pants on him, though.
Fish pants. But no, I mean, and we've seen, you know, some stuff come out, like they had this collaborative figure that was basically a frog guy and then some kind of a rabbit.
I have no idea.
It was like a Transformer Naruto collide pack. And it looks like basically Spitter mixed with, you know, for the frog and then somebody else for the, like this jackrabbit type thing that I don't know. It looks interesting, but that was about as far as it goes. And I like the Autobot cup uh-huh. with Sergeant Slaughter.
Yep.
G.I. Joe thing.
Pretty, yep.
But again, really that's cool. Not one that I would just have like feel like I have to get. Like I like Sergeant Slaughter and I like what Cup turns into.
Yeah.
But I don't, again, a lot of these don't really speak to me. Plus, the collaborative stuff is super expensive.
Yeah, it is. All right, folks. So it's the old stuff that keeps us going, right? Because we tried some of the new stuff, and the new stuff is okay, and the new stuff works in certain aspects or whatever else, but what Hasbro needs to be focusing on, at least I think at this point, is that younger generation, how they got us 40 years ago as kids, or 35 years ago as kids, whatever you want to say. Like, I was 4 when G1 debuted. By the time I was 6, I was crying my eyes out, waiting for Hot Rod to take the Matrix away from Ultra Magnus, kind of thing. And we're not going to sit here and bash any of the new cartoons or any of the new toys or anything like that. It's just that it just seems like the way that Hasbro and Paramount and everybody is doing the media part of Transformers, that there's really nothing here. Give us... my thing about streaming, any streaming service, I don't care what streaming service it is, doesn't matter what it is. Follow the model that was started with Netflix and Hulu 15 and a half, 16 years ago. Release everything all at once. Let us binge it or let us take our time. I cannot stand that streaming services are now what TV was 15, 16. Oh, you must wait a week. Right now, we're in the middle of... completely different show, completely different thing, whatever. But, like, they're in the middle of releasing episodes for The Penguin on HBO Max. I'm not watching The Penguin until all of the episodes of however many episodes that first season's going to get. I'm not watching that show until all the episodes are online and I can control the entertainment and not have to be at the beck and call of these streaming services. But my point is that while at least in Transformers right now, media-wise, outside of the comics for me, which I think you should try them at some point, like I said, cartoon-wise, there really isn't anything here. We don't know when there's going to be another movie, because, like I said, we just had Transformers 1, which I haven't seen yet, and I will before the end of the year. Probably before Christmas, most likely. But it's the old stuff that keeps us going, because we can always go back to Beast Wars. We can always go back to Beast Machines. We can always go back to Transformers Animated or Generation 1 or G2 or any of the Japanese versions. Like, Hasbro's not going to let those disappear. We'll always have them at some point or in some form, one way or the other. And that's okay, because you can be a Transformers fan without having to keep up with whatever they are or aren't doing in the modern day as far as a new cartoon or a new this or a new that. Thoughts?
No, and I kind of agree. I've actually found myself going back and watching old TV shows in general, just because there's really nothing new or nothing that really speaks to me or is that written in a way that I would care to watch it. Or the animation, or, you know, just I get hung up on the animation just as much as the writing. And I kind of get this vibe like Hasbro doesn't want to have anything to do with any of their properties. They want somebody else to do all of it. They just want to be able to say yes and no and lease it out. And that's very much the play that's going on here. And it's very evident, and that's why I feel like there's so much alienation with it and so much of a disconnect with their product in the store. Because even the new stuff that's coming out, nobody's touching it. And it's not just Hasbro. I mean, Hasbro's got a ton of crap. They've got, like, the Marvel Legends, they've got the Star Wars, they've got, like, everything Hasbro is printing, and Playmates is printing, and a lot of these companies, it's not going anywhere. Like, it's literally, it's the same crap every time I go in. And I think it's a symptom of a bigger problem in the toy industry. Like, just the fact that adults aren't buying their kids stuff and kids just don't care. Like, modern kids do not care about toys. It's a 3-day rule. They like it and then they don't care. It's the adults that are the ones actually spending the money and that want to collect it because either A, it didn't exist when they were younger. It's a nostalgia piece. It's, you know, their favorite character. It's a reimagining. It's, you know, tied to some media that they like. It's a multitude of things. And I feel like we're in this weird era Especially because, like, a lot of these toy companies try pushing digital toys.
Yeah.
And you can tell how much I cared about the digital toy thing because I can't even remember what they're called.
Tamagotchis. No. I know.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it kind of blew over. Like, yeah. Nobody, it didn't adopt the way they expected, and it wasted so much money.
Yep.
And then a lot of the shows, like, they don't market them. They don't. Like, I feel like in some regards, like, a lot of the newer shows just don't resonate the same as, like, the older stuff. And so I feel like that's why a lot of the things that are old are kind of having a resurgence, and people are watching that or watching new iterations of other shows that try to stay true to what they are. Point in case, the Dragon Ball series that I'm currently watching. They've got a new series coming out, or that is out in Japan or China or whatever, but the English one doesn't come out till the middle of next month. And it's adding into the mythos, like, they're filling in a gap, because at the end, like, at a certain end point of Dragon Ball Z, before, like, the last few episodes, there's a 10-year gap between, like, the last few episodes of, like, the last fight in Dragon Ball Z, and then the last few episodes. There's a 10-year gap. Like, it jumps forward. So this new series that's coming out is trying to take some elements from the original Dragon Ball that made it fun, and less of the training and less of the fighting, more of the fun and more of the exploration and, you know, the humor, and adding in elements of Dragon Ball GT in there, and then building on the mythos, and it's the original creator involved with all of it, and he's having it take place immediately after that last fight in Z, and then after this show, they skip a number of years by again, and then Dragon Ball Super happens, which runs right up until the end of Dragon Ball Z. And so, but in that regard, like, I feel like they're not trying to reinvent the wheel. They're kind of keeping true to everything, and it's resonating really well, to the point that, like, even fans that kind of started out a little bit polarized by the new series that's coming out, like, when they figured out the timeline, they're like, oh, okay, this makes sense. And then they're, you know, everybody's on board. But Transformers doesn't really have that.
No. It doesn't have that because every new cartoon,
they reboot it.
Well, yeah, they reboot it. They do something different. They, like, the last time we had full continuity was Beast Wars and Beast Machines. You could kind of maybe say animated, but that was a whole other thing. It had its own, like, it took from the Generation 1 history books and things like that, but, like, it was still its own thing. Transformers Prime was definitely its own thing, and I love Transformers Prime. I love all that stuff. You know, the 2015 Robots in the Skies, that was its own, everything was its own thing. Like you said, they just constantly reboot, 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 reboot. They're not starting something to get kids today the way they got us 40 years ago, which was a 3-4 season series with a movie and toys. And like you said earlier, modern kids today would rather have an iPad, an iDevice, an Android, whatever. They want tablets, they want this, they want that. They don't want action figures.
No, that's us nerds.
Exactly. So Hasbro's got to find a way to get the modern kid back to wanting toys, and I just don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think so either. I think it's going to become a collector's market, and I'll be interested to see what Playmates Toys does with Power Rangers next year.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting.
I'm looking forward to seeing what they focus on and where they go with it, and how well it's received, and the detail. And that will determine, I think, where Hasbro puts their energy with some of their other properties. Like G.I. Joe, don't get me wrong, the figures out right now look great.
Yep.
However, there's been no new medium for them outside of comics.
Yeah.
Since G.I. Joe Resolute and
Renegades.
Renegades, and Renegades was an interesting take on it, and so was Resolute, putting more of an adult spin on the original. Yep. And then it was like, outside of those, like, the films were crap.
Yeah.
And then the second one wasn't too bad. The first one was garbage. And then, but it's like Hasbro doesn't know what to do with it. I almost feel like they need to pick something and focus really well on it. Like DC and Marvel. Marvel does really well with their live action films, and DC does really well with their animated.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, I think there'll come a point where the pendulum swings in the other direction, especially with the man in charge at DC now.
Yeah, Gunn, James Gunn.
Yep. And yeah. I think he'll actually give the DC universe a fighting chance.
Yeah.
And the way that Marvel is floundering now, I think their animation will take a front seat here.
Yeah.
So I think Hasbro needs to get out of the live action movie universe and stick with the animation.
Yep.
Because the animation is where they can excel.
Well, because you can do anything in animation, and it's not going to cost $1 billion.
You're not paying for the. You don't have to pay for the star power either. I mean, yes, they got Hemsworth and Johansson and all these other people, but it's like they could have saved that money by just getting people, not, you know, Peter Cullen or Frank Welker soundalikes or anything by any means, but, you know, kind of having actual, like, voice actors. We don't need star power. You're not seeing them on the screen. I'm not paying that close of attention to the voice if it's done correctly.
I hear Steve Buscemi was a really good Starscream. That's what I hear anyway.
It was okay. I mean, it was kind of a lot of those, like, the Decepticons were very much throwaways. And Buscemi, he sounded like him until Megatron popped him in the throat. Either that, or I can't remember who did it. It was either Megatron or somebody else, but I think he crushed his voice box, which is why he got the screechy.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Voice. Yeah. Like the kind of shrill.
Yeah.
Is because, you know, he got knocked down a few pegs.
Yeah. See, we didn't need that kind of quote-unquote storytelling 40 years ago. The voice was just the voice. We didn't need to know why. And we didn't need a bot going around for 5.5-6 movies without a voice box.
No. And, talking with a radio. Because, you know, it's interesting. He emotes through song. And yeah, I don't know. I definitely enjoyed the animated version more than the live action stuff. And
like we said, they can do more in animation storytelling. Like animation, you can have a 1.5 hour to 2.5 hour movie, or you can do a TV series that is not. The greatest thing that Hasbro did in 2012 was that they had a TV series cartoon for adults, which was Transformers Prime, and they had one for kids, which was Rescue Bots. Now, can the adults go over to the kids' side and watch? Yeah, sure, absolutely fine. Can you introduce your kids to Transformers Prime? If they're old enough, if they're mature enough, sure, fine, whatever. But they were catering to both sides of the fandom of Transformers, the adults and the children. Now, they're not doing that. They're just solely going after the adults, it seems, in the animated stuff, in the comics. Actually, it's funny because I think I just saw something that Skybound is going to do a kid-centric type thing with some of their comics. It's going to be separate from what they're doing with the fan comics like Transformers and G.I. Joe and all that now. But I think they are launching, or they're going to be launching next year, a kids division for Skybound.
Makes sense. I mean, you're hitting that untapped potential, and, you know, if you're trying to get the next generation involved, you need to have something worth them looking into. And
absolutely,
right now, like, I mean, to be honest, like, any of those darker themes, my kids wouldn't care about it.
Yeah.
And I personally don't either. Like, I'm like very much like, give me some of the goofy stuff that G1 had, like, you know, Prime playing basketball with Spike and Jazz or having a snowball fight, like stuff like that.
Yeah. So, folks, we're not old men screaming at Sky. We're not any of that kind of stuff. We're just saying that Hasbro, for us, for the two of us, there really isn't anything new that they're doing for me other than the comic, but that I want to pay attention to. So it's the old stuff that keeps me going. I can go to any of the old cartoons, watch any of my favorite episodes at any time I want, and remember why I've been a Transformers fan my whole life.
Oh, and I agree. That's why I have like majority of Beast Wars on my shelf and some G2 figures and some G1 figures and, you know, a 3D printed stasis pod and, you know, just stuff like that. Like I've Beast Wars and Beast Machines really resonated with me a lot as a kid, just because that was like that and Dragon Ball Z were like my two shows that I had to rush home. Like Dragon Ball Z was what I watched when I came home from school. Beast Wars was what I watched before I went to school. So it kind of bookended my school day. So I had these epic sagas going on, you know, in the morning and then in the evening. And so it was kind of this fun way to wrap up my weekdays. I mean, I watched shows on all day on Saturdays and Sundays when they had the cartoons, but Monday through Friday, Beast Wars and then Dragon Ball Z were kind of my go-tos. And kind of the way that, you know, I mean, I'm watching Dragon Ball Z Kai now, but I'm covering that on the Cyber Dragon Ball, which I revived from the dead. But yeah, as far as Beast Wars, I mean, that's still my go-to. Like, whenever I'm wanting to watch Transformers, that's the one I go to, like, pretty much every time.
Yep.
Even though I know it's going to happen 100% of the time, because I remember every episode.
Yeah, because you know, we've seen them so many times, we know. But still, it's nice to, like, I want to watch something. What haven't I watched in a long time? What am I in the mood for? Hey, let me go watch the Aftermath, or let me go watch Optimal Situation, or let me go watch The Low Road, or, you know, something. You know, you just have that feeling of wanting to watch something that you haven't seen in a long time, even though you know it by heart because you've seen it so many times, it doesn't matter, because if you haven't watched it in so long, you want to go back and you want to look at it again. And they gotta fix and figure out what they're doing with their animation on streaming services, because this whole 5 episodes here, 10 episodes here, don't do that. Stop it.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of the gist of it. Like, we're just kind of waiting for the, you know, for the next thing. And I'm looking forward to covering Transformers 1 with you on the podcast. And that one might be a fun one to do a commentary.
Yeah, we could do it.
Because there'll be moments where we're like, oh, okay, this is stupid. Or we'll be like, oh, this is funny. And we'll be like, there's a callback to this.
Yep. Yeah, we could do that.
Somewhere else in the franchise. Because there was a lot of nods, and they did try really hard to kind of stick to the universe. So.
Yep. Absolutely, absolutely. And now we can look forward to Transformers 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 9, 12.
Transformers 2, The Rise of the Decepticons.
Yeah, that's probably what it's going to be.
Probably will. Yeah, so I mean, that I think kind of wraps this up. I mean, the old stuff's keeping us going for the time being until there's something interesting to kind of pull us back in. I still think that there's a missed opportunity for, like, I don't need blast effects. I think having, you know, some of the backdrops, or having some of the gear or the kits, you know, some of the stuff that some of these 3D printer people are putting out.
Yeah.
3D designers.
Yep.
I think that these are some of the things that could benefit from professional Hasbro polish.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like, I love my stasis pod,
but
it would have been nice to have had an official one where the figures actually fit.
Yes.
and one that I don't have to worry about if I move a part wrong, it's going to snap.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't want your parts to be snapping. You don't want your parts to be snapping, crackling, popping, all that good stuff. This isn't cereal.
No, nope, not cereal.
The Transformers will return after these messages.
Hello, all sentient beings. Want the latest on everything going on in the Transformers multiverse? Check out the Transmissions Podcast Network. We've got weekly podcasts covering everything from Alpha Trion to Omega Supreme, from old school G1 all the way up to Cyberverse and beyond. And you don't want to miss Empire of Rust, the world's first and only Transformers live play role-playing game podcast. If you love Transformers, there's something for everyone at transmissionspodcast.com.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0 and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
We now return to the Transformers.
Anything else?
I think that's it.
Alrighty. Thank you, as always, for listening to All Things Transformers. I've been your host, Steve Megatron, along with TFG1 Mike. And, of course, as always, you can interact with us on the episode post on geekcastradio.com or on the Facebook post. So until next time, transform and transcend. Yes.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.